Lord Vader stepped out of the elevator and stood at the entrance to the throne room. He marched resolutely down the walkway, up the stairs, and kneeled before the Emperor.
"Rise and speak, my friend." Vader rose.
"My master, a small rebel force has penetrated the shield and landed on Endor."
"Yes, I know."
There was no hint of surprise in his tone, rather, fulfillment. Vader noted this, then went on.
"My son is with them."
The Emperor's brow furrowed less than a millimeter.
"Are you sure?"
"I felt him, my master."
"Strange that I have not,"
the Emperor murmured, his eyes becoming slits. Certainly, Vader and his son were more closely linked than was the Emperor with young Skywalker. But, in addition, the Emperor was now aware of a cross-current he hadn't read before. A buckle in the Force he couldn't quite understand.
"I wonder if your feelings on this matter are clear, Lord Vader."
"They are clear, my master."
He knew his son's presence. It galled him, and fueled him, and lured him.
"Well, then you must go to the Sanctuary, Mood, and wait for him,"
Emperor Palpatine said simply.
"He will come to me?"
Vader asked skeptically. This was not what he felt.
"Of his own free will,"
the Emperor assured him. It must be of his own free will, or else all was lost. A spirit could not be coerced into corruption. It had to be seduced. Destinies could never be read with absolute certainty, but Skywalker would come.
"I have foreseen it. His compassion for you will be his undoing. The boy will come to you, and you will then bring him before me."
Vader bowed low.
"As you wish."
With grim anticipation, Vader strode out of the throne room to board the shuttle for Endor. Luke, Chewie, Han, and 3PO picked their way methodically through the undergrowth behind R2. R2 clicked and whirred to himself, then darted forward, whistling loudly. 3PO raced behind him. R2 says the rocket bikes are right up... Oh, dear. They broke into the clearing just ahead of the others. The charred debris of 3 speeder bikes was strewn about, not to mention the remains of some Imperial scouts. They spread out to inspect the rubble. Little of note was evident, except for a torn piece of Leia's jacket. Han held it soberly, thinking. 3PO spoke quietly. R2's sensors find no other trace of Princess Leia.
I hope she's nowhere near here now, Han said to the trees.
Chewbacca stood facing the dense foliage beyond, then wrinkled his nose, sniffing. He roared, then plunged into the thicket. The others rushed after him. All at once, the undergrowth gave way to another clearing. A single tall stake was planted in the ground, from which hung several shanks of raw meat. The searchers stared, then cautiously walked to the stake. "What's this?" 3PO voiced the collective question. Chewbacca's nose was going wild in some kind of olfactory delirium. He held himself back as long as he could, but was finally unable to resist. He reached out for one of the slabs of meat. "No, wait!" shouted Luke, but it was too late. The moment the meat was pulled from the steak, a huge net sprang up all around the adventurers, instantly hoisting them high above the ground in a twisting jumble of arms and legs. R2 whistled wildly. He was programmed to hate being upside down, as the Wookiee bayed his regret. Han peeled a hairy paw away from his mouth, spitting fur.
"Great, Chewie. Nice work. Always thinking with your stomach."
"Take it easy," called Luke. "Let's just figure out how to get out of this thing." He tried, but was unable to free his arms. "Can anyone reach my lightsaber?" R2 was bottommost. He extended his cutting appendage and began clipping the loops of the viny net. Solo, meantime, tried to squeeze his arm past 3PO to reach the lightsaber hanging at Luke's waist. Suddenly, R2 cut through the last link, and the entire group crashed to the ground. As they gradually regained their senses, they realized they were surrounded by 20 furry little creatures, all wearing soft leather hoods, all brandishing spears. One came close to Han, pushing a long spear in his face, screeching.
Eek!
Solo knocked the weapon aside.
Point at somewhere else.
A second Ewok became alarmed and lunged at Han. Again he deflected the spear, but in the process got cut on the arm. Han started to draw his pistol. Luke stopped him with a look.
Don't. It'll be all right, he added.
Han held his arm and held his peace as the Ewoks swarmed around, confiscating all their weapons. R2 and 3PO were extracting themselves from the collapsed net when suddenly, with a little gasp, one of the Ewoks dropped his spear and prostrated himself before the golden droid. The other Ewoks followed suit. 3PO looked at his friends with a slightly embarrassed shrug as the small creatures began to chant in unison.
Ewo! Ewo! Ewo!
I believe they think I'm some sort of god, 3PO said, almost apologetically.
Chewbacca and R2 thought that was very funny and spent several seconds hysterically barking and whistling. Han just shook his head with a galaxy-weary look.
Well, how about using your divine influence to get us out of this? He suggested solicitously.
I beg your pardon, Captain Solo, but it's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Han moved threateningly toward the protocol droid.
Listen, you pile of bolts. If you don't...
He got no further, as 15 Ewok spears were thrust menacingly in his face.
Just kidding, he smiled affably.
The procession of Ewoks wound its way slowly into the ever-darkening forest. On their shoulders, they carried their four prisoners, Han, Chewbacca, Luke, and R2, tied to long poles, wrapped around and around with vines. Behind the captives, 3PO, borne on a litter, was carried high upon the shoulders of the Ewoks. The starry sky seemed very near the treetops to Luke as he and his friends were carried into the Ewok village. He wasn't even aware it was a village at first. The tiny orange sparks of light in the distance he thought initially to be stars. But then he found himself being hoisted up intricate stairways and hidden ramps around the immense trunks, and gradually, the higher they went, the bigger and cracklier the lights became. Luke finally realized the lights were bonfires among the treetops. The captives were taken out onto a rickety wooden walkway far above the ground. For one bleak moment, Luke was afraid they were going to be pitched over the brink, but the Ewoks had something else in mind. The first creature in line grabbed hold of a long vine and swung across to a far trunk, which Luke could see had a large cave-like opening carved into its titanic surface. Vines were quickly tossed back and forth across the chasm until soon a kind of lattice was constructed, and Luke found himself being pulled across it on his back, still tied to the wooden poles. On the other side, they rested on a shaky, narrow platform until everyone was across. Then the diminutive monkey bears dismantled the webbing of vines and proceeded into the tree with their captives. When they emerged, 50 yards beyond, they were in the village square. Everywhere were hundreds of Ewoks, cooks, tanners, guards, grandfathers. Mother Ewoks gathered up squealing babies at the sight of the prisoners. Dinner smoke filled the air. Children played games. Minstrels played strange, resonant music on windy reeds. The entourage of captors and captives stopped before the largest hut. Luke, Chewie, and R2 were leaned on their poles against a nearby tree. Han was tied to a spit, and balanced above a pile of kindling that looked suspiciously like a barbecue pit. Dozens of Ewoks gathered around, chattering curiously in animated squeals. Tebow emerged from the large structure. He was slightly bigger than most of the others, and undeniably fiercer. He wore a horned animal half-skull above his head, and carried a stone hatchet. He examined the group cursorily, then seemed to make some kind of pronouncement. At that, a member of the hunting party stepped forward. Paplu, the mantled Ewok. Tebow conferred with Paplu for a short time. The discussion soon turned into a heated disagreement, however, with Paplu apparently taking the rebels' side. Han looked over at Luke with a dubious frown. I don't like the looks of this. Chewie growled his wholehearted agreement. Suddenly, Logre exited from the large hut, silencing everyone with his presence. Shorter than Tebow, he was nonetheless clearly the object of greater general respect. He, too, wore a half-skull on his head, a single feather tied to its crest. His face was wise, though. He carried no weapon, only a pouch at his side, and a staff of bones. One by one, he carefully appraised the captives. Tebow and Paplu babbled their opposing points of view at him, but he seemed supremely uninterested, so they soon stopped. When Logre came to Chewbacca, he became fascinated and poked at the Wookiee with his staff. Chewie took exception to this and growled dangerously at the tiny bear man. Logre needed no further coaching and did a quick backstep, at the same time reaching into his pouch and sprinkling some herbs in Chewie's direction. "Careful, Chewie," Han cautioned from across the square. "He must be the head honcho."
"No," 3PO corrected. "Actually, I believe he's their medicine man."
Logre wandered over to examine R2-D2. He sniffed, tapped, and stroked the droid's metal shell. After a few moments of thought, he ordered the small robot cut down. The crowd murmured excitedly and backed off a few feet. R2's vine binders were slashed by two knife-wielding guards, causing the droid to slide down his pole and crash unceremoniously to the ground. The guards set him upright. R2 was instantly furious. He zeroed in on Tebow as the source of his ignominy, and beeping a blue streak, zinged him with an electric charge. The shocked Ewok jumped into the air, squealed, and ran away as fast as his stubby little legs could carry him. 3PO was incensed. R2, you're only going to make matters worse. Luke was afraid the situation was getting out of control. He called with the barest hint of impatience to his faithful droid. 3PO, I think it's time you spoke on our behalf. 3PO turned to the assemblage of fuzzy creatures and made a short speech, pointing from time to time to his friends tied to the stakes. Logre became visibly upset by this. He waved his staff, stamped his feet, and shrieked at the golden droid for a full minute. At the conclusion of his statement, several Ewoks began filling the pit under Han with firewood.
"Well, what did he say?"
Han shouted with some concern. 3PO wilted with chagrin.
"I'm rather embarrassed, Captain Solo, but it appears you are to be the main course at a banquet in my honor. He's quite offended that I should suggest otherwise."
Before another word could be said, log drums began beating in ominous syncopation. As one, all the furry heads turned toward the mouth of the large hut. Out of it came Wicket, and behind him, Chief Chirpa. Chirpa was gray of fur, strong of will. On his head, he bore a garland woven of leaves, teeth, and the horns of great animals he'd bested in the hunt. In his right hand, he carried a staff. In his left, his pet and advisor, an iguana. Chirpa surveyed the scene in the square at a glance, then turned to wait for the guest who was only now emerging from the large hut behind him. The guest was the beautiful young Princess of Alderaan.
"Leia!"
Luke and Han shouted together. With a gasp, she rushed toward her friends, but a phalanx of Ewoks blocked her way with spears. She turned to Chief Chirpa, then to the robot interpreter. 3PO, tell them these are my friends. They must be set free. 3PO looked at Chirpa and Logray.
Ape Squee Rio, he said with much civility. The Squee Roa Meep Meep Era.
Chirpa and Logray shook their heads with a motion unequivocally negative. Logray chattered an order at his helpers, who resumed vigorously piling wood under Solo. Han exchanged helpless looks with Leia.
Luke, what can we do?
Leia urged. Han was about to offer a suggestion when he paused, briefly taken aback by Leia's sudden intense faith in Luke. It was something he hadn't really noted before. He merely noted it now.
3PO, tell them if they don't do as you wish, you'll become angry and use your magic, Luke said.
But Master Luke, what magic?
The droid protested.
Tell them,
Luke ordered. The interpreter droid turned to the large audience.
A meebly screech or aish shisty meep eep eep.
The Ewoks seemed greatly disturbed by this proclamation. 3PO began rattling on in a terribly unsettling manner, as if he'd been caught falsifying his own program.
They don't believe me, Master Luke, just as I told you.
Luke wasn't listening to the droid, though. He was visualizing him, seeing him sitting shiny and golden on his throne of twigs, prattling on, sitting in the black void of Luke's consciousness, and slowly beginning to rise. At first, 3PO didn't notice. Nobody did. 3PO just went right on talking, as his entire litter steadily elevated off the ground.
I told you they wouldn't... What? Wait a minute. What's happening here?
The Ewoks silently fell back in terror from the floating throne. 3PO now began to spin, as if he were on a revolving stool.
Help! He whispered. R2, help me!
Chief Chirpa shouted orders to his cowering minions. Quickly they ran forward and released the bound prisoners. Leia, Han, and Luke enfolded each other in a long, powerful embrace. Luke was aware of a plaintive beeping behind him and turned to see R2 staring up at a still-spinning 3PO. He lowered the golden droid slowly to the ground. 3PO, still a bit shaken, stood with a wobbly smile.
Why, I didn't know I had it in me.
The hut of Cheap Chirper was large, by Ewok standards, though Chewbacca, sitting cross-legged, nearly scraped the ceiling with his head. The Wookiee hunched along one side of the dwelling with his rebel comrades, while the chief and 10 elders sat on the other side, facing them. 3PO was in the midst of an animated history of the Galactic Civil War, replete with pantomime, explosive sound effects, and editorial commentary. The Ewok elders listened carefully, occasionally murmuring to each other. It was a fascinating story, and they were thoroughly absorbed, at times horrified. Logray conferred with Chief Chirpa once or twice, and several times asked 3PO questions, to which the golden droid responded quite movingly. In the end, though, after a rather brief discussion among the elders, the chief shook his head negatively. He spoke to 3PO, and 3PO interpreted for his friends.
Chief Chirpa says it's a very moving story, the droid explained, but it really has nothing to do with Ewoks.
A deep and pressing silence filled the small chamber. It was finally Solo who spoke for the group, for the Alliance.
Tell them this, Goldenrod. They shouldn't help us 'cause we're asking them to. They shouldn't even help us 'cause it's in their own interest to. You know, that's why I used to do stuff, because it was in my interest. But not anymore. Mostly I do things for my friends now. 'Cause what else is important? Money? Power? The point is, your friends are... your friends. You know?
This was one of the most inarticulate pleas Leia had ever heard. But it made her eyes fill with tears. The Ewoks, on the other hand, remained impassive. She thought of her experience in the forest earlier, her sense of oneness with the trees, whose limbs stretched towards the very stars, their light filtering down like cascading magic. Leia felt that magic within her, and it resonated around the hut, making her stronger, until she felt one with these Ewoks. The debate wound down. Leia made her appeal to the council. "Do it because of the trees," she said. That's all she said. Now Wicket jumped to his feet, facing the elders, and began his own impassioned speech.
"Eep, eep, meep, eek, squee."
3PO translated for his friends. "Honorable elders, we have this night received a perilous, wondrous gift, the gift of freedom. This golden god, whose return to us has been prophesied since the first tree, tells us now he will not be our master, tells us we are free to choose as we will, that we must choose, as all living things must choose, their own destiny. His friends tell us of a force, a great living spirit of which we are all a part, even as the leaves are things separate, yet part of the tree. We know this spirit, honorable elders, though we call it not the Force. The friends of the Golden One tell us this Force is in great jeopardy, here and everywhere. When the fire reaches the forest, who is safe? Not the great tree of which all things are part, not its leaves, nor its roots, nor its birds. All are in peril. It is a brave thing to confront such a fire, honorable elders." The little bear creature fixed his gaze on the others in the hut. Not a word was spoken. Nonetheless, the communication was intense. After a minute like this, he concluded his statement. "Honorable elders, we must aid this noble party not less for the trees, but more for the sake of the leaves on the trees. These rebels are like the Ewoks, who are like the leaves. Battered by the wind, yet do we throw ourselves on smoldering fires, that yet another may know the warmth of light. So must we help our leaf brothers, these rebels, for so has come a season of change upon us." The elders were moved. Without saying another word, they nodded in agreement. Chief Chirpa stood, and without preface, made a brief announcement. All at once, drums began to beat throughout the entire village. The elders jumped up and ran across the tent to hug the rebels. Luke, like the others, was sharing the joyous occasion when suddenly a dark cloud filled his heart. He wiped its traces from his face. Nobody noticed. 3PO turned to the rebels. "We are now part of the tribe."
"Just what I've always wanted," said Solo.
3PO ignored the sarcastic star captain. "The chief has vowed to help us in any way to rid their land of the evil ones. Tebow says his chief scouts, Wicket and Paplu, will show us the fastest way to the shield generator."
"Tell him thanks, Goldenrod."
Luke slipped outside and wandered away to a secluded walkway on the dark side of a colossal tree. He stared at the brightest star in the heavens. It looked to be fired from deep within its core by raging elemental vapors. It was the Death Star. He couldn't take his eyes from it. Leia found him like that.
"What's wrong?"
she whispered. He smiled wearily. "Everything. Or nothing. Maybe things are finally going to be as they were meant to be." Luke felt the presence of Darth Vader very near. Leia took his hand. She felt so close to Luke, yet she couldn't say how.
"Luke, tell me what's troubling you."
He stared at her a long moment, estimating her abilities. She was strong. He felt it unwaveringly. He could depend on her. They all could. "Vader is here. Now, on this moon." Leia felt a chill, as if her blood had actually congealed.
"How do you know?"
I can feel his presence. He's come for me.
But how could he know we were here? Was it the code? Did we leave out some password?
But she knew it was none of these things. No, it's me. He can feel it when I'm near. He held her by the shoulders. He wanted to tell her everything. But now, as he tried, his will was starting to fail. I must leave you, Leia. As long as I'm here, I endanger the whole group and our mission. His hands trembled. I have to face Vader. Leia was fast becoming distraught, confused. She shook her head hard.
I don't understand, Luke. What do you mean?
He pulled her to him, his manner suddenly gentle, abidingly calm. He's my father, Leia.
Your father?
She couldn't believe it. Yet, of course, it was true. He held her steady to be a rock for her. Leia, I found something else out. It's not going to be easy for you to hear it, but you have to know before I leave, because if I don't make it back, you're the only hope for the Alliance. Leia looked away. Flashes of her mother came again, parting embraces, flesh torn from flesh.
Don't talk that way, Luke. You have to survive. I do what I can, we all do, but without you, I can do nothing. It's you, Luke. I've seen it. You have a power I don't understand, and could never have.
You're wrong, Leia. He held her at arm's length. You have that power, too. The Force is strong in you. In time, you'll learn to use it as I have.
She shook her head. Luke, what's come over you?
Leia, the Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. And my sister has it. Leia stared full into his eyes. Darkness whirled there, and truth. What she saw frightened her, but now, this time, she started to understand.
Yes, he whispered, seeing her comprehension. Yes, it's you, Leia.
He held her in his arms. Leia closed her eyes tightly against his words, against her tears, to no avail. It all washed through her.
I know, she nodded.
Openly, she wept. Then you know I must go to him. She stood back.
No, Luke, no. Run away, far away. If he can feel your presence, go.
I can't.
Luke, why? Why must you confront him?
There's good in him. I've felt it. He won't give me over to the Emperor.
I can save him. I can turn him back to the good side.
I have to try, Leia. He's our father. They held each other close. Goodbye, dear sister. Lost and found. Goodbye, sweet, sweet Leia. Luke moved slowly back along the planking and disappeared into the darkness of the tree cave that led out of the village. Leia watched him go, quietly weeping. She was crying and trembling and whimpering all at once, when suddenly Han stepped up and embraced her from behind. He'd gone looking for her and heard her voice, and arrived just in time to see Luke leaving. But only now, when Leia jumped at his touch, did he realize she was sobbing. His quizzical smile turned to concern, tempered by the heart fear of the would-be lover. Hey, what's going on here? She stifled her sobs, wiped her eyes.
It's nothing, Han. I just want to be alone for a while.
She was hiding something, that much was plain. It's not nothing, he said angrily. I want to know what's going on. He shook her. It made him sick at heart to think of Leia with Luke. He couldn't even bring himself to imagine what it was he didn't want to imagine. He'd never been out of control like this. He realized he was shaking her and stopped.
I can't, Han.
Her lip began to tremble again. You can't tell me? Maybe you'd rather tell Luke. Oh, Han, Leia cried, and burst into tears once more. She buried herself in his embrace. Han's anger turned slowly to confusion and dismay as he found himself wrapping his arms around her, comforting her. I'm sorry, he whispered into her hair. I'm sorry. Please, just hold me. He just held her. Morning mist rose off dewy vegetation as the sun broke the horizon over Endor. The Imperial landing platform squatted over the ground, harsh, metallic, octagonal. It seemed to cut like an insult into the verdant beauty of the place. An Imperial walker emerged from the timber on the far side of the platform, returning from a patrol mission. Step by lumbering step, it approached the loading dock. Darth Vader stood at the rail of the lower deck, staring mutely into the depths of the lovely forest. It was coming soon. He could feel it. Like a drum getting louder, his destiny approached. The Imperial Walker docked and opened its doors. A phalanx of stormtroopers marched out and lockstepped toward Vader. They stopped when they reached him, and at a word from their captain, parted to reveal a bound prisoner in their midst. It was Luke Skywalker. The young Jedi gazed at Vader with complete calm. The stormtrooper captain spoke to Lord Vader.
This is the rebel that surrendered to us. Although he denies it, I believe there may be more of them, and I request permission to conduct a wider search of the area.
He extended his hand, which held Luke's lightsaber.
He was armed only with this.
Vader looked at the lightsaber a moment, then slowly took it from the captain's hand.
Leave us. Conduct your search and bring his companions to me.
The officer and his troops withdrew back to the walker. Luke and Vader were left standing alone, facing each other in the emerald tranquility of the ageless forest.
So, the Dark Lord rumbled, you have come to me.
And you to me.
The Emperor is expecting you. He believes you will turn to the dark side.
I know. Father?
So, you have finally accepted the truth, Vader gloated.
I have accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father.
That name no longer has meaning for me.
It is the name of your true self. Luke's gaze bore steadily down on the cloaked figure. You have only forgotten. I know there is good in you. He molded with his voice, tried to form the potential reality with the strength of his belief. That's why you could not destroy me. That's why you won't take me to your emperor now. Vader seemed almost to smile through his mask at his son's use of Jedi voice manipulation. He looked down at the lightsaber the captain had given him, Luke's lightsaber. So the boy was truly a Jedi now, a man grown. He held the lightsaber up.
You have constructed another.
This one is mine, Luke said quietly. I no longer use yours. Vader ignited the blade and examined its humming, brilliant light like an admiring craftsman.
Your skills are complete. Indeed, you are as powerful as the Emperor has foreseen.
They stood there for a moment, the lightsaber between them. Sparks dove in and out of the cutting edge. Come with me, Father. Vader shook his head.
Ben once thought as you do.
Don't blame Ben for your fall. Luke took a step closer, then stopped. Vader did not move.
You don't know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master.
I will not turn. You will be forced to destroy me.
If that is your destiny...
Search your feelings, Father. You can't do this. I feel the conflict within you. Let go of your hate. But Vader hated no one. He only lusted too blindly.
Someone has filled your mind with foolish ideas, young one. The Emperor will show you the true nature of the Force. He is your master now.
Vader signaled to a squad of distant stormtroopers as he extinguished Luke's lightsaber. The vast rebel fleet hung poised in space, ready to strike. It was hundreds of light years from the Death Star, but in hyperspace, all time was a moment, and the deadliness of an attack was measured not in distance, but in precision. The calculations required to launch such a meticulously coordinated offensive at light speed made it necessary to fix on a stationary point. The point chosen by the rebel command was a small blue planet of the Sullust system. The Millennium Falcon finished its rounds of the fleet's perimeter, checking final positions, then pulled into place beneath the flagship. The time had come. Lando was at the controls of the Falcon. Beside him, his co-pilot, Nien Numba, a jowled, mouse-eyed creature from Sullust, flipped switches, monitored readouts, and made final preparations for the jump to hyperspace. Lando set his comlink to War Channel and made his summary report to Akbar on the command ship.
Admiral, we're in position. All fighters are accounted for.
Akbar's voice crackled back over the headset.
Proceed with the countdown. All groups assume attack coordinates.
Lando turned to his co-pilot with a quick smile.
Don't worry, my friends are down there. They'll have that shield down in time.
He turned back to his instruments, saying under his breath,
Or this will be the shortest offensive of all time.
Up on the bridge of the Star Cruiser command ship, Akbar looked around at his generals. All was ready.
Are all groups in their attack coordinates? He asked.
Affirmative, Admiral.
Akbar gazed out his view window meditatively at the starfield. He spoke finally into the comlink war channel.
All craft will begin the jump to hyperspace on my mark. May the Force be with us.
He reached forward to the signal button. In the Falcon, Lando stared at the identical galactic ocean with the same sense of grand moment, but also with foreboding. They were doing what a guerrilla force must never do, engage the enemy like a traditional army. If the rebels lost this battle, they lost the war. Suddenly the signal light flashed on the control panel. The attack commenced. Lando pulled back the conversion switch and opened up the throttle. Outside the cockpit, the stars began streaking by. The streaks grew brighter and longer as the ships of the fleet roared at light speed, soaring through the warp into hyperspace and disappearing in the flash of a moon. The strike squad crouched behind the woodsy ridge overlooking the Imperial outpost. Leia viewed the area through a small electronic scanner. Flattened down in the bushes on the ridge with the strike force were several Ewoks, including Wicket, Paplu, Tebow, and Warwick. The rest stayed lower, behind the knoll, out of sight. The entrance is on the far side of that landing platform, Leia said, putting down the scanner. This isn't going to be easy. Paplu began chattering away, pointing, squealing. What's he saying, 3PO? Leia asked. Apparently, Wicket knows about a back entrance to this installation, 3PO said. Four Imperial scouts kept watch over the entrance to the bunker that half emerged from the Earth far to the rear of the shield generator complex. Their rocket bikes were parked nearby. In the undergrowth beyond, the rebel strike squad lay in wait. 3PO whispered to Tebow and Paplu, explaining the problem and the objective. The Ewoks babbled a moment, then Paplu jumped up and raced through the underbrush. Leia checked the instrument on her wrist. We're running out of time. The fleet's in hyperspace by now. 3PO muttered a question to Tebow and received a short reply. Oh dear, 3PO replied, starting to rise to look into the clearing beside the bunker.
Stay down, rasped Solo.
What is it, 3PO? Leia demanded.
I'm afraid our furry companion has gone and done something rash. What are you talking about?
Oh, no. Look.
Paploo had scampered down through the bushes to where the scout's bikes were parked. The rebel leaders watched as the little ball of fur swung his pudgy body up onto one of the bikes and began flipping switches at random. Before anyone could do anything, the bike's engines ignited with a rumbling roar. Leia held her forehead.
Oh, no, no, no!
Chewie barked. Han nodded.
So much for our surprise attack.
The Imperial scouts raced toward Paploo just as the forward drive engaged, zooming the little teddy bear into the forest. Three of the guards jumped on their own bikes, speeding off in pursuit of the hot rod Ewok. A fourth scout stayed at his post near the door of the bunker. Leia was delighted, if a bit incredulous.
Not bad for a ball of fuzz, Han admired.
He nodded at Chewie, and the two of them slipped down toward the bunker. Paploo, meanwhile, was sailing through the trees, more lucky than in control. When the Imperial scouts began firing laser bolts at him, he rounded a tree just out of their sight and grabbed a vine. He then swung up into the branches, giggling furiously. Back at the bunker, the last scout was subdued by Chewbacca. Stripped of his suit, the scout was carried into the woods by two members of the strike team. The rest of the squad silently crouched around the entrance. Han stood at the door, checking the stolen code against the digits on the bunker's control panel. With natural speed, he punched a series of buttons. Silently, the door opened. Leia peeked inside. No sign of life. She motioned the others and entered the bunker. Soon, the entire team was huddled inside the otherwise empty steel corridor. Leaving one lookout outside, dressed in the unconscious scout's uniform, Han pushed a series of buttons on the inner panel, closing the door behind them. Furtively, Leia led the way down the dark, low-beamed tunnel. Vader's shuttle settled into the docking bay of the Death Star like a black nightmare insect. Luke and the Dark Lord emerged from the snout of the beast with a small escort of stormtroopers and walked rapidly across the cavernous main bay to the Emperor's tower elevator. Royal guards opened the elevator door. Luke stepped forward. His mind was buzzing with what to do. It was the Emperor he was being taken to now. The Emperor. If Luke could but focus. A great noise filled his head, though, like an underground wind. He hoped Leia deactivated the deflector shield quickly and destroyed the Death Star. Now, while all three of them were here. Before anything else happened, a black storm raged inside him. He wanted to kill the Emperor, but then what? Confront Vader? Destroy him? Destroy Vader, and then what? For the first time, Luke had a brief, murky image of himself, standing on his father's body, holding his father's blazing power, and sitting at the Emperor's right hand. The thought was at once repugnant and compelling. He squeezed his eyes shut against it, but a cold sweat formed on his brow. The elevator door opened. Luke and Vader walked out into the throne room, father and son, both dressed in black. Vader bowed to his master. The Emperor motioned him to rise.
"Welcome, young Skywalker." The evil one smiled graciously. "I have been expecting you."